Hello, kia ora, my lord. My name's Michelle. I'm the host of I'm Just Older Darling, a series of conversations with members of our communities, who are sometimes referred to as elders. Their stories, their words. This was recorded during the lockdown of COVID-19. This conversation experienced some network issues, shall we say. I hope you enjoy it. I think it's still audible. Apologies for some of the quality. This conversation is with Shirley Friedman. She's an older member of the Caribbean community of Auckland.
My name is Shirley Friedman.
Hello, Shirley.
I'm 73. And how long have I been in Auckland? How long have I been in New Zealand? My daughter and granddaughter emigrated here 2004, I think. Yeah, and I arrived December 2006. After made two or three visits here to have a look, see what it was like, and I recognised it straight away as a British former British colony. It's still very institutionalised and so on. So I was prepared for that. So I was involved with community organisations over in Britain. Professionally, I started life as a shorthand typist and then went into social work. So I'm now, I suppose, retired. I did work for over 6 years at the Refugee Centre in South Auckland after a few months working at Middlemore Hospital. The Refugee Centre, I felt very comfortable. People of all sorts of different cultures, and I'm certainly a multicultural person myself. Growing up with a black father and a white mother was quite something in my time, in the 60s. Nobody else had parents looking like mine. So that was quite something. And, so here in New Zealand, I've lived in Auckland since December 2006. And got involved with community organisations. I was chair of the Waitakere Ethnic Board, for example, for about a couple of years, involved with them via the Refugee Centre. I'm also volunteering with Hospice, West Auckland Hospice, with a social group. About four or five patients, usually once a week, every week. And I do half a day at the Citizens Advice Bureau as well. And I'm a Quaker, Religious Society of Friends, Quakers. And I was a Quaker over in England and transferred my membership over here. So I'm a member of the women's group. We meet twice a month. And walking group. We meet every Tuesday morning. And I've also been assisting Kuwaiti Arabic-speaking the past 6-8 months. I did a course with English language learners, home tutoring course. So I've had Afghani women and Burmese and so forth. So it's been really interesting. I had about a year's break, and then this present learner, I've been, let's say, supporting her since about August, September, I think, last year.
How do you feel if the expression being an elder is pointed in your direction?
Being an elder, I think being an elder, it's a difficult one, because in many communities in so-called developing countries, even here in Māori, in Pacifica, an elder is looked up to as somebody who is important, who has lived for 60, 70, 80 years, who is respected, and who has a lot of knowledge, experience, wisdom to give to the younger folks. In capitalist society, I don't think the term elder is used in a positive way. And the tendency tends to be that younger people are the most important, and the old ones, well, they should just get the pension, shut up, and they're all grey hair and walk the dog and things like that. I don't feel that I really fall into that category. And I think I've come across other people, other women who may be doing all sorts of things, still working, and feel more positive. So I think the term elder in the black community, in other countries, is much more positive than it is here, because we're much further away from nature. Humans think they're superior anyway, but elders has not got a very positive tone about it, generally speaking.
Okay, so saying that, who were the elders in your day? Who were the people that you respected and thought of the elders in your day?
Well, let me see. I remember I spent about 5 years over in my father's country, Guyana, which 98% of people have never heard of. So I always say to them, well, I know that you have heard of the country next door, Venezuela. Bordered by Brazil. So the elders, I would say, I mean, my father's mother, I remember when I was over in what was then British Guiana, we lived for about 2 or 3 years on the island, and she's a lovely little lady, and she's saying, come on now, Shirley, come on down to the river, we'll do some washing. And she's a dear. And those sort of 5 years or so over there, I've cherished forever, because that was very community orientated. We went into each other's houses, rooms. It was something but I knew my place amongst uncles, aunts, cousins, parents, and so on. But my parents returned me to England, and that was the end of, in a way, looking up to an elder. That was the end of living in community. Returning to the nuclear family was very different, very difficult. So I guess you could say I looked up a little bit to my father, my mother's mother as well, although she had cancer, so didn't really get to know very much about her because she was ill a lot of the time. An uncle, and I looked up to him, an older cousin, about 15 years older, so...
Yeah, that's quite a diverse group of people.
It is.
For someone to describe where Guyana is in relation to South America, in your own words.
The former British Guyana, I get asked sometimes what language they speak there. I said, well, English. It is bordered by Brazil and Venezuela, and it's 7 miles away from Trinidad. It's in the Atlantic Ocean to the Caribbean Sea. Next door to, also bordered by Guyana, it became independent in the 1960s, is Suriname, which is the old Dutch Guyana. And next to Suriname is French Guyana, which is still a territory belonging to France.
Do you think you're treated differently now you're older, or what, how people perceive you?
Am I treated differently now? That's a difficult one. I guess people generally think I'm in my 50s or perhaps about 60, and I say that 73, they don't really... again, is this idea of being an elder. So if... I think if people already know my age before I meet them, they begin to treat me differently because they don't know that I'm active. I can walk around and I can do all sorts of things. And am I treated differently? I think because I know I'm different, I'm a bit older, I'm careful, living mainly on my own. I did have students at one time, I had a friend coming and going. So I'm careful in how I treat myself, my body. I say, Shirley, look at the floor. Why must I look at the floor? Because that's where your feet are. And watch out for the mat. And if you're going on the ladder, be careful as well, because your body might be lying there and no one knows about it. So am I treated differently? That's a difficult one because, sometimes I am. Depends on the age of the person that I'm interacting with. We don't always know how we come across. So it's a difficult one to, because I haven't been here all my life. So being brought up in England, maybe it's a bit different from how one is brought up here.
In the current lockdown, or how do you think it's impacted you? And do you think being an elder has given you the ability to maybe deal with it slightly better?
How has it impacted me? Well, I'm still in touch with our Quaker worship group a lot. I'm a phone contact thing. How is it? I've been out most days, having a walk. I'm a stubborn sort of person. I don't like being told what to do and stay home. My daughter tried to say, you're over 70, and you're supposed to stay home. And I said to her, I haven't seen any police or military at my gate or walking up and down the road. The occasional police car around, but then there usually is. So certain shops are closed and you must shop at these two big supermarkets. Well, I don't like buying veggies at supermarkets because they're more expensive, they package them up and charge you more and you're going to throw the packaging away anyhow. So I went sniffing around and there's a veggie shop there, there's such and such there. The other thing was that my two feijoa trees were dropping feijoas, so it was an opportunity to share that with friends, four or five different friends, obviously keeping a social distance. But it's also one or two who are isolated, meeting up with them as well, having a chat with them, or one of them just said, leave them on the doorstep, and I sort of texted back, that's absolutely fine, chat for 10 minutes or just drop them on the doorstep. I didn't put any pressure on anyone at all. And so I think the main one I'd say is that not being able to do my usual community activities, like helping out at the CAB, going along to the library, community centre, taking packed lunch, meeting up with one or two people I know there, and adventuring further. So what I did was go around different reserves and discovered two or three I didn't know didn't know about. Sniffing around for blackberries, things like that. So, yeah, I didn't stop in every day.
Do you think the technology has been helpful during this period of the lockdown?
Absolutely. I forgot to mention that Zoom meetings. A guy at the Quaker meeting, he helped online for about 3/4 of an hour. The main reason was that there's a kind of a security screen that I didn't realise on the computer. Otherwise, I'd have been able to get the Zoom thing done myself. But anyway, a couple of Zoom meetings a week, with the band, but also with our Quaker group as well. They began, and obviously emails were very, very important, and they continue to be important as well. So technology was very, very useful. And talking, I mean, at least every day, talking to someone. That's why, as I say, with this Quaker group, we had a telephone contact, so that somebody was responsible for ringing me every day or every other day, and I was responsible for ringing somebody else. So I still am. I haven't rung this lady yet, but that's fine. We agreed about 3 times a week was plenty. So technology has been really very useful, especially with Zoom and emails and the WhatsApp as well. And seeing each other on Zoom has been really good.
You're inspiring. You're very inspiring. With the use of technology, you're very inspiring.
Right, there's two particular people. There's a guy who's 94, or is it 93, and there's a woman who's 56 or 57. The person who has the most difficulty with technology is not the 56, 57-year-old. It's not the 93-year-old. It's the 57-year-old woman. She doesn't do emails, and she texts to and fro is all that she does. There's another woman I know similarly. I'm not sure that she can read texts. So when it comes to older, and I think one also has to look at things like that. I know I'm old-fashioned in some ways and still got things I could learn, but even the term podcast, I think, well, now, what does that mean? And they're talking about a QR screen or a QR code. Now, do I need to Google what a QR code is? The assumption is that we all know what it means, and who is we? there are lots of bit of the technology that I don't know and don't have a lot to do with that I've heard of, like Twitter and Instagram. I don't really have anything too much to do with that. But then, you see, my daughter is not on Facebook, but I am, and she's a computer person. So that's part of her job. So I think she chooses not to be on Facebook, which is fine.
What would you do differently? If you could speak, your older self could speak to your younger self, what would be the advice you would give? Your current self, yeah. Mm. If your current self could speak to your younger self, what would you tell them?
Let me see. Now, that's a difficult one. I think I'd say don't worry so much. Don't worry about getting older. I don't really worry about getting older. I've had my 3 score years and 10, so I've got nothing to worry about, really. That's what I said to the specialist yesterday at the hospital. And so I'd say to, I'd say to my younger self, especially some in my 20s and 30s, it's not too bad being older. Things to gain, just live for the moment, continue to be kind to yourself, And I think one of the most important things I'd say, and I say this as to all women, is to look after yourself first, last and always. Because if I don't look after myself, how can I possibly look after anyone else or put the expectation of somebody else looking after me? And so I think I've grown up with that kind of thing, that I don't expect people to be looking after me. And I would say to my younger self, don't have that expectation. Get on with life and just continue to give what you can. And when you've had enough, sit a while in the background and just be a spiritual being, because many of us are taught and we learn about human doings all the time, and we forget that we're human beings first and foremost. So having that spiritual ethos is really important. And when things become difficult, just go for a walk, take it easy, don't get angry. I remember not seeing my sister and my mother and so on for quite a few years. There was a parting of the ways. My husband and I moved to a different city. I went to uni and kept in touch by birthday cards and Christmas cards. And it was, look back on that and I think, it was difficult. So don't take things to heart. Just take your time to make decisions. And if someone annoys you, just walk away. And don't always give them power that you're going to shout or scream at them or call them names or swear or anything like that. Just walk away from them, because you don't know what they're going through and they don't know what you're going through.
Thank you for the conversation, Shirley. I'm Michelle, your host. I'm Just Older, Darling. It's brought to you by Same Same But Black. There's a series of conversations with members of our community, sometimes referred to as elders, movers, shakers, doers, musicians, based in West Auckland and wider New Zealand. Each person has an interesting story and a perspective of their life. That was episode 6 of I'm Just Older, Darling.
I'm looking for the treason that I knew in '65.